I'd like to welcome you all to the Friday morning session of the Grant Taggart Symposium. Thanks for coming, and thanks for being here on time. Couple housekeeping issues. Just a reminder, hopefully you parked behind me. If you parked up over here on the upper level, there you may have some problems when you go to get your car later today. CE today. Our second speaker, Bill S., is eligible for CE. We will be passing the stamps around at that time. Please stamp both your in and out stamp when the stamps come around. And now we'd like to have Wayne Gledhill give us an invocation.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful that we can assemble together today as we celebrate our great industry. We're grateful, Father, for our clients and that we have the opportunity to serve them. We ask you to bless us. We may be honest in our dealings with them, that we may treat them as our friends, and that we may use the ethical standards to which we ascribe as we deal with them. We're grateful for the blessings we have, Father, for the good things that we find in our lives, and we're thankful for them. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And now I'd like to introduce the Provost Mayor, John Curtis. He's going to talk to us for a few minutes here, and then we'll get started with our morning.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Provo, or as we like to say here in Provo, welcome home. We find that so many people, when they come here, have been here before for education or for language training. As a matter of fact, we call ourselves the City of Starts. And if you think about it, how many of you started your careers here, started your education here, maybe started an LDS mission here, started your romance here, had your first kiss here? And we find for a lot of people, Provo is a place where they started many things. We're very proud here in Provo. I usually say the sun always shines. This morning that's a little bit difficult. But it's a place where things are going well. We were recently rated the second best-managed city in the United States. We have a vibrant downtown. I hope you have a chance during your stay to visit our downtown area. Downtown Center Street has 50 independent restaurants, not a single chain in that area, and we're very proud of those restaurants and hope you have a chance to visit them. I'm really pleased to welcome you. The Curtis family has deep roots in the insurance world. My great-grandfather started an agency called Curtis and Brandley Insurance in Salt Lake City. And as a young man, I remember listening to my grandfather talk about in his early days, he would hop in his car and drive south and pull into Cedar City, and he would talk about selling the gym, the fire station, and all the policies in the town. And then he'd get in his car and drive to the next town and come back 6 months later. And later on, my father would talk about how competitive the industry had become. But I'm proud to say that because of that industry, the insurance industry, that paid for my education here at BYU and many things that were good in my life. So I'm grateful for those of you who serve in that capacity and offer that great service to so many people. Hope you enjoy a wonderful stay here in Provo, and if you'll let me know if I can help you in any way. Thank you all very much, and have a great conference.
And now I'd like to introduce Van Miller. He's 27 years top of the table. He's a high-energy guy. I think you're going to really like what he's got to say. Come see him after the talk in his booth out there, and he's got some CDs, some newsletters, and he's happy to share lots of stories with you. Thanks, Van.
I prefer short introductions. Thank you for having me. This is one of the goals of speakers in our industry is to be invited to the Taggart Symposium. This is either my third or fourth time. I don't remember exactly because I do a lot of these, probably 60 or 70 speeches a year all over the world. I'm going to take a couple of minutes and talk to you about the Taggart Symposium, if that's all right. Yesterday, you had spectacular speakers. I don't know if you realize, but the guy that talked about persuasion, Kurt Mortensen, was fabulous information. For me, that's actually better than romance, watching the guy like that. He was fabulous. And David McKnight, that was gold he gave you yesterday. Spectacular. Later this morning, you're going to be able to see Carrie Johnson. Carrie Johnson, the very first cassette tape, this is how old I am, that I bought was Sales Magic from Carrie Johnson. There's a lot of people in this room that are my heroes. In order to be good in this business, you have to have people that you aspire to, people that you want to be like, people that you want to grow into. Success is not just about writing lots of policies or making lots of money. Success is having a great life where you matter to your family, to your neighborhood, to your city, to your country. That's what I get. I get the chills when they come here because this is a room full of people like that. And so what I want to kind of nag at you about is I don't think enough of you come to this meeting. Yesterday I sat at lunch with an agency that has 20-some agents and only 9 of them came. Where are the rest of them? This is one of the great meetings in the insurance industry. People need to be at this meeting because it does something that the other meetings do not do. It teaches sales ideas. We're being overwhelmed with Department of Labor, fiduciary responsibilities, compliance, product knowledge, all of these technical things, and nobody knows how to sell. Remember, just did a study. At the greatest time ever to be an insurance agent, 97% of the agents in America make less than $75,000 a year. Plus drivers make $75,000 a year. This isn't what you should be doing if that's all you're going to make. This is a career where you can make a difference. This is, in fact, I hate even calling it a career. For me, it's my life. I don't have any hours. I work when I want, and I do what I want. And mostly what I want to do is I want to serve. And that's what this meeting is all about. I happen to know some of the speakers that are being considered for next year. I'm actually thinking of flying in so I can attend that meeting. It's going to be that good. Now, here's the most important part. This is run mostly, or helped to be run mostly, by people from NAFA. Now, I'm a huge fan of NAFA, and I want you to understand why. There's 3 reasons. Study after study at Northwestern Mutual, New York Life, and State Farm says that if you're a member of NAFA, your professional organization, you make more money than the agents at those companies that are not members of NAFA. So here's what I want to say, and I don't want anybody to raise their hand. Here's the question I want to ask you all. If you could pay $500 a year, and you could make $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 additional dollars a year commissions, would you do it? And the answer is, of course you would. So sign up for NAFA today, and we promise you, we will help you make that additional amount of income that you need to make so that you can serve more people. Second, the reason you want to be around NAFA is because you want to be around people that believe as you do. It rubs off. It rubbed off on me. When I finally get into my speech, you're going to see that I was the biggest dirtball the insurance industry has ever seen. I was such a lousy insurance agent, I'm absolutely positive that I was the reason there's compliance now. And I was bad. Really, really bad. And I didn't have the courage to change. I sat in audiences and watched Ben Feldman and Roger Zehner and John Savage and Tom Wolfe. And by the time I got to that door back there, I was terrified that if I tried anything that they showed me to do, I wouldn't make the $35,000 a year I was making. and I became a cancer in my agency. We would bring a new agent into the office, I'd put my arm around him, I'd say, no, this is a great company. They don't issue anything, but they're really good. Commissions are awesome, you're never going to see them. That's what I did for 16 years. I was not an overnight success. I failed for 16 years in this business. And then I lucked out and I got fired. And it was NAFA people that picked me up, grabbed me by the back of my neck, and pulled me out of this hole that I was in and saved my life. I owe forever. I could start crying right now very, very easy. Because I owe and I want to owe. The third reason you want to sign up to be a member of NAFA, very important. Pretend that you're having one of your serious snowstorms that you have occasionally in Utah, and you've been working all day, and it's really cold, colder than it's ever been in a while. It's 10 below zero, your feet are wet, you're freezing, you've had 3 appointments, none of them have gone well during the day, and you get to your final appointment, and somehow, some way, you make the finest sales presentation you've made in the day. You're smoking hot. You're sitting this high off your seat. You're not even touching your seat. You're doing such a great job. And you look across at the customer and you say, would you like to take this? And the customer looks at you and says, no, I don't think we can afford it. Please listen to me very carefully. If you're not a member of NAFA, you'll believe them. Because if you can make a determination that you don't want to belong to your professional organization, then you will accept everybody else's reason for not doing what they're supposed to do. The biggest sale you will ever make in your careers is to yourself. They don't buy what you say, they buy how you say it. Do you believe? They want to be around people that believe. And by being with NAFA, I'm always around people who believe. So finally, what I wanted to close with about Taggart is the reason to come to this meeting. Please be very clear, and I'm not cutting on Carrie, I'm not cutting on David, I'm not cutting on Kurt, I'm not cutting on you or any of the other speakers. But it isn't to come and see us. The reason you want to be at this meeting is to be with each other and to be in with the exhibitors. I learn more at the exhibit halls at MDRT and at NAFA and at NAILBA and all of those places than I ever learned from the people standing on this stage. Because those people want to help me make more sales and make more money. In any other industry, what we're doing here today would be considered espionage. You're sitting at a table at lunch today across from your biggest competitor. And if you say to them, boy, I have a tough case, I don't know what to do, they will actually offer you advice on how you can close that case. This is the greatest industry that has ever been. It is the greatest time to ever be an insurance agent. It is the first time in the history of the business that if you're a life insurance agent, you're the competition. Nobody can touch you. Nobody. It is the greatest time ever to be an insurance agent and a life insurance agent. So please, consider becoming a member of NAFA. Do not ever miss this meeting again. Those of you that are first timers, sign up already for next year. If you need me to come and sit in the audience and be a cheerleader, I will. I love this meeting. It's an important meeting. It's as good as any meeting in the United States of America, and you should be proud. And I think you should give a hand to the people that are organizers. Okay. Now start the call.
Okay.
Please, I wanted to give them, this is such an amazing room full of people. Half the people in this room could come up here and do the talk I'm about to give. You understand? It's an amazing room full of people. That's why I don't feel any fear standing up here, because I know you'll all help me do the best I can. That's what's so exciting about being in this room. So this is really important. You're going to watch me give this speech, and you're going to say, oh man, is that guy, is he charming? Does he have a gift of gab? Is he got... Please, all of that is a lie. I am very, very shy. This is very, very hard. This is emotionally exhausting for me to stand in front of you. When I get up in the morning, I don't look in the mirror and go, hey, top of the table. Oh, boy, are you great. I look in the mirror and I go, oh my God, are you old? I can't believe how fat you are. Are you ugly? That's called negative self-talk. We all have it to some extent. And the way you overcome your negative self-talk is the fastest way to grow self-esteem is to make a decision to do something for somebody else. And you work in the greatest industry at the greatest time ever to do something for somebody else. It's the greatest time ever to be an agent. I really, really struggled for a long time, and I want you to understand, I learned how to do this. This is a learned skill. I learned from the greats. If you've ever seen Tony Robbins speak, he says, if you want to be great, find somebody who's already doing what you want to do and copy them. I've done that extensively for years. I've followed all the greats. All of them. I chased after them. I stalked them at the meetings. That's how I got better. And I want you to understand, you can learn how to do this. Here's the other thing I want you to understand. You can't study your way to success in the insurance and financial services industry. I have people that come up to me and they say, Ben, I've listened to your CDs 10 times. They're amazing. I say, have you ever tried any of this stuff on them? Well, no, I'm still studying. The secret to success in insurance and financial services is not about study. Write this down. You want to leave here with this one word. It is about practice. You become great at this by practicing. You become great at this by asking the questions over and over so that they become conversational, so that they're not a pitch. You don't want to be a pitch artist. You want to be a great conversationalist. You want to be an advocate. You want to be an advisor. You want to be a counselor. You do not want to sell anybody anything. I actually tell people all the time when I call them, I promise you I'm not going to sell you anything. Because I don't want to sell them anything. I want them to buy from me. And I'm not being cute with you. I'm not playing games with you. America loves to buy. They hate to be sold. Hate it. I love to shop. Women, I love to shop. One of my favorite stores is Nordstrom. I walk in the men's department, a sales clerk comes up to me and says, hey man, can I help you? No thanks, just look. Why did I say that? Because I don't want to be sold. I love to buy. What do you think is different about buying life insurance or annuities or mutual funds? They love to buy. They don't want to be sold. Now, I have to do this very fast because I want to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. So I want you to understand, a lot of agents come to me and say, Ben, I can't get enough appointments because I don't have anything to talk about. They say it all the time. And I say, my God, are you kidding me? I could stand in front of you right now for 24 straight hours and I would not run out of stuff to talk to you about. And I wouldn't be telling you a thing out of you just asking you. I would be asking you about economics. Now, listen, this is another very important thing. Do you know there's no such thing as good news? And do you know there's no such thing as bad news? There's only news. If you plan and prepare, it's the opportunity of a lifetime that we're about to have. If you don't plan and prepare, then you're going to be slaughtered and you deserve it. And how many people know this is about to happen? And is it what makes you great as insurance and financial advisors that you're willing to go up to everybody and ask them the questions? Nobody will be offended. Nobody will be angry if you stop telling them stuff and start asking them stuff. Look at some of the stuff you have to talk to them about. Under 65 healthcare, there's an organization I'll get. That's one of the sales ideas I'm going to show you this afternoon, called Milliman Medical Index. Milliman Medical Index is an actuarial firm. Does everybody understand that an actuary is an accountant with no personality? They never lie. They don't care if you ever make a sale again. The math is the math is the math. I believe them. And what they do is every May of every year, they send out a report. The report says this, that the average cost of health care for a family of four in 2014 was $24,677. And in 2015, it was $25,699. And in 2017, it was $26,944. Ready? Triple in the last 15 years. So here's the sale. It's a simple sale. I'm going to show you it this afternoon. If it triples again from now in the next 15 years by 2032, to have access to quality health care in America, it'll be $81,000 a year. You go to every grandma and grandpa in America, and don't ever call them seniors, don't ever call them old people, don't call them anything but grandma and grandpa. They're power words. I know 50-year-old beautiful women who don't mind being called grandma. You understand, it's a power word. Learn to use language to your advantage. You ask them, you say, if I could show you a way to stay in complete control of your money until you take your last breath, but instead of giving the money to a government, to a nursing home, or to a hospital, you could keep that money in your family so that your children and your grandchildren would have access to quality health care and maybe have a starting point for a chance at retirement, would you do it? What do you think they say every time? Answer me.
Yes.
You're not going to just get to sit there. You don't want me to come out there. You don't like it. This is us together. We're doing this together. I want you to leave here when you're done today, and I want you to go and double your production. I believe I can show you how to do that today. You need to get in front of as many people as you can because we're about to have a catastrophe in this country. Retiree health care. Brand new study by HealthView Services says it's $400,000 for a couple living till life expectancy in today's dollars and $607,000 in tomorrow's dollars. And that does not include long-term care. Where are Americans going to get the money for health care in this country? It's going to be astonishing. Pensions. The World Economic Forum just came out with a report. Said the unfunded liability for pensions on planet Earth, $427 trillion. $427 trillion. There's a guy named David Muldeen. He says by 2019, you heard Mr. David McKnight yesterday say that we're going to run out of money for stuff. By 2019, we'll only have enough money for entitlements, interest on the debt, and defense. That's 2 years from now. By 2023, we will only have enough money for entitlements and interest on the debt. We will even have to borrow all the money we spend on defense. And right now, currently, Americans are paying more money in taxes than they are for food, clothing, and shelter. We have become a socialist nation. I'm sorry if you don't like that, especially out here, but that's what we've become. We get what we vote for. I'm not going to get political here, but if I had my way, all 537 of these turkeys would be gone tomorrow. You got it? Now, I don't care if you don't agree with me. I'm right and you're wrong. Isn't that what's wrong with the whole country right now? I don't know if I'm right. Let me ask you something. If I have an opinion and you have an opinion, whose opinion is the one that's most likely to matter the most? Yours. So why should I ever tell you anything? Why do agents think they have to tell people stuff in order to prove how smart they are? Isn't that amazing? One more thing about economics, and then I'm going to get to the sales ideas. This is today's paper. Today. Honest. It makes me so angry, I don't know what to tell you. Equifax had patch, didn't install it. What would be the very next question you would ask every one of your prospects and clients? Do you think that the establishments, the so-called establishments that we count on are going to come through for us? The government, Wall Street, the banks. I can't tell you strong enough. It's the greatest time ever to be an insurance agent. I don't know if you remember, but during the Great Depression, 9,000 banks went under. Less than 2% of the assets of the insurance industry were even considered impaired. In 2007 and 8, 450 banks went under. Less than 1% of the assets of the insurance industry were even impaired. This is the greatest time for Americans to be an insurance company. You should hug and kiss every one of your insurance company leadership because they are being conservative. They will be able to make sure that you get your money back when this all blows up, and it's going to blow up. So, this is what I... Oh, one more thing before I... Because I wrote this down, too. This team today. Moody's just reported that the unfunded liability for states' defined pension plans is now $1.3 trillion. and the unfunded liability, Moody says, for all the other cities, municipalities, townships, fire, police, teachers, municipality workers, is close to $7 trillion. Now, I have a trick question for all of you. Why is $7 trillion more dangerous than the $20 trillion shortfall for Social Security and the $100 trillion shortfall for Medicare? Somebody shout it out.
They can't print the money.
They can't print the money. So the states and cities and counties, they're going to have to borrow, they're going to have to reduce, they're going to have to increase, or a combination thereof. That means other things are going to be demolished. This is the greatest time ever to show people life insurance. Life insurance offsets losses. Life insurance offsets deflation. Life insurance offsets inflation. It is pennies that buy dollars. It is $1 that does the work of many dollars at a time when people have very little discretionary money. It'll take care of you if you live too long. It'll take care of you, your family, your charity, or your business. And make sure you say all three, because people don't know life insurance does it. And if you do your presentation right, you open their mind to thinking about all the creative ways that life insurance can be used. It takes care of you if you live too long, I said that, if you die too soon. It's self-completing if you become disabled. Many policies have access to them. If you have a critical illness like a heart attack, stroke, or cancer, they have terminal illness benefits. And I've been saying for 15 years that the insurance industry would never find a way to really price long-term care insurance. But they do know how to use the benefits of a life insurance policy to provide long-term care benefits to the American people. It's the greatest time ever to be a freaking life insurance agent. You have to know that in your heart. You never be embarrassed or ashamed. If you look on my card, it says I'm a life insurance agent. Doesn't say I'm a financial guy or any of that. I'm none of that. I'm an insurance agent. Proud of it. I got a second chance. When I got fired, I spent the whole day crying. 16 years, I never made $1 million on day one. And I call up this guy named Jim Gaylord, who I adore. He adopted me as a second son, and he saved my life, saved my career. I called him on the phone and I said, Jimmy, you're not going to believe this. They fired me. And he was so kind and so loving. He said, Dan, you're an idiot. He said, you want things to get better, but you're not willing to do what's necessary to get better. He said, I can save your career. I went, oh, my God, what do I got to do? He said, from now on, every time you're in a home or a business, I want you to take care of those people, whether you make a commission or not. Want to hear what a dirtball I was? I said, Jimmy, if I do that, I'll starve for that. Thank you, Jimmy. Here's what he said back. Okay, you're fired. I said, no, you don't understand. He said, no, you don't understand. From this day forward, your job is to serve the American people. If you don't do it, I won't help you. If you do do it, I will. 17th year in the business, I made the $1 million round table. 18th year in the business, I made quarter of the table. And now 27 years in a row, I made top of the table. It's the only thing I'll brag about. There are only 150 agents in the history of the insurance business that have made top of the table more than 20 times. I'm proud of the consistency. Not the production. You understand? I found a way to do this where I'm in front of lots of people. I run 30 to 50 appointments a week. I write lots and lots of apps every year. And that's what I'm going to spend the rest of this session showing you and sharing with you so that you can increase your appointments. The hottest thing in America right now, you walk up to somebody and you go, shh, it's hot. Social Security. Biggest lie in the history of the world. Ready? 10,000 baby boomers a day are retiring. They are not. It's only 8,500. The number one birth year in the history of the United States was 1957, followed closely by 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64. 70% of the baby boomers are going to retire between 2022 and 2029. Why did I just tell you that? Because you haven't missed it. You walk up to everybody, anywhere. You help me, do this fast because I'm running out of time already. Okay? I got 8 hours of speech to do it. 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes.
35 minutes.
What's the best age to take your Social Security? I don't care.
What's up?
70. Can I ask you something? What happens if you die at 62? Didn't you lose out on hundreds of thousands in lost benefits for you and your family? Now say the other one. What's the best age to take your Social Security?
62.
What if you live until you're 95 years old? Didn't you lose out on hundreds of thousands of lost benefits for you and your family? Do you know that 80% of the people in our country minimize their Social Security benefits rather than maximize? If I could show you a way to maximize your Social Security benefits, and all I'm going to do is come and ask you some questions that will allow you to clarify in your own mind what it is you need to do to maximize those benefits, could you find me 45 minutes in the next week or two? In fact, you'll be so pleased with the information when I'm done, you'll walk me to my car and hold my car door open for me. Fair enough? Now, here's what I do with an example. I say, I want to give you an example of a question. Your mom and dad still alive? How old are they?
75.
Still in decent health? So, there's some longevity in your family. Might it be a mistake to take your Social Security at 62? Yeah. Here's another question I have for you. How's your health? Do you have any chronic illnesses? The stuff you have, is it controlled? Do you still exercise? See, those are conversations. It's not a pitch. I haven't talked about a policy at all. What I'm trying to get them to understand is, what if there was a way to maximize your Social Security by taking advantage of what David McKnight was talking about here yesterday? You have no idea what a brilliant presentation that was. You have no idea. I sat here, please, I showed him a short version of my presentation, of his presentation this morning, and I told him, I sat there almost starting to cry because he gave me a sales idea yesterday that's going to show me how to get another $80,000 out of every one of my clients that has tons of IRA money. The 25 to 28% bracket. Never even occurred to me. Nobody studies like me. I'm psycho. I read 14 newspapers a day. I read 250 periodicals a month. I get 56 Google alerts every single day. I'm a psycho. I'm analytical. You understand? How many will admit? I said it first. How many will admit to being analytical? Raise your hand. Now take a gun out and kill that part. It doesn't work in sales. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter about us. We can't, as the persuasion guy said, vomit all this information all over people. They have the attention span of a very short amount of time. New study says it's 6 seconds, 8 seconds. Say goldfish has a attention span of 9 seconds. No kidding. I'll show you the study. You know, can I prove it to you? Raise your hands. How many people in here still read books? Do you ever get to the bottom of a page and you can't remember what you read? And you want to go give an hour-long sales presentation filled with all kinds of information to your prospects and clients? It doesn't work. You want to ask them great questions. You want them to be doing all the talking. Just very simply, the more invisible that I become in the sales presentation, the more sales I make. And the simpler I make the presentation, the bigger the sale. That's it. You guys want all kinds of way outer space magic. And the key is simplification, not complication. See, I'm going so fast now. What you're trying to do with asking these questions is another thing. Tell me if you've ever heard this. I want you to raise your hands because I want to keep you in this. Do all meat patties, fresh sauceless, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun? You ever heard that before?
Yes.
You notice I can say it perfectly. That's a 42-year-old commercial. You know why I can say it perfectly? Because every time I walked into McDonald's and said it perfectly, I got a free Big Mac. Now, have you ever heard life insurance isn't a good investment? Raise your hand. Have you ever heard you should buy term and invest the difference? Have you ever heard nobody can time the market? Have you ever heard you should put a whole crap load of money inside of a 401k above the match? Every one of them is a lie. But because the American people hear it 1,000 times, if you hear a lie 1,000 times, what happens to it? Answer me. It becomes the truth. So you show up all pretty and buttoned down and rehearsed and practiced, and you say, guess what?
I got a really great life insurance policy. It is a good investment. You shouldn't buy term and invest the difference. Are they going to believe the 1,000 times, or are they going to believe the 1 time? The 1,000 times. You screwed me up. You tricked me. See, what you want to do with questions is you want to help our prospects and clients use their own common sense to reason out what they should do for themselves. Does that make sense? No, answer me.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So why should you ever tell them anything? Your job is to help them navigate through an enormous amount of information, misinformation, fake news, and figure out a way to make a decision that will benefit them. See, here, one more thing, and then I'm going to give you a whole bunch of conversation stuff. People do not buy when they understand. Because in order for them to understand, you have to tell them something. People buy when they feel understood. In order to feel understood, you have to listen to them. It's the secret of our business. Everybody's been trying to tell us that for years and years and years, and we keep trying to invent the wheel in a different way. Doesn't work. You instinctively know that that's the right way to sell, but you don't do it. So I wrote a list of conversation starters. I have about 200. They're on my CDs and so forth. I share these questions with agents, but I want to share a few with you to help you get started. Since we had David here yesterday, please, I think the three most important people in the insurance industry today, one of them is Ed Slott. Ed Slott says the number one benefit of the income tax code today is cash value life insurance. Next one is Tom Hegna. He's taught us that it's not about assets in retirement, it's about income. If you have $2 million of assets and you're making 0% interest on them, how much in retirement income are you going to develop? None. And people worry about losing. See, because what you were taught yesterday also, if you paid attention, Americans are way more concerned with loss than they ever are missing out on gain. And insurance agents ridiculously don't believe that that's so. But I can prove it to you. There are trillions and trillions of dollars in checking accounts, money markets, savings accounts, short-term bond funds, and CDs paying nothing. Because Americans are way more concerned with loss than they ever are at missing out on gain. You have to know that. You have to be able to talk to people about that. Very, very important. So here's some fun questions. This is you want to use this with David, okay? I walk up to people on the street, no kidding, I'm not kidding. And I say, hi, my name's Van Miller, I'm an insurance agent with MassMutual. I've been doing this a long time, and please, I don't want to wreck your day. Why did I say I don't want to wreck your day? I want to be a little self-deprecating. It prevents them from pushing me away. I'm picking on Mila. I don't want to wreck your day. I made a deal with myself that I was going to ask everybody I came across this important question because I don't think anybody thinks about it. It'll take 15 seconds, and if you tell me to get lost afterward, I'll get lost. Promise. Now, do you understand the setup created the opportunity to ask the question? They want to know what the question is. Here it is. You should be asking it every single day. Is there somebody at the Internal Revenue Service that you're so madly in love with that you want to know all about your money? You're laughing. They laugh too. They say, lots of times they say, how do you know that? I say, well, don't you have an IRA? Don't you have a 401k? Don't you have a 403b? Don't you have a 457 plan? Why are you taking a small income tax deduction now on a small amount of money, building a gigantic pile of money so the government can tax the bejesus out of it? Does that make sense to you? Yes. Answer me.
No.
Then why are you doing it? That's what I asked him. There was no cost or obligation. I promise. All I'm going to do is ask you some questions, and I'll show you those questions in my breakout this afternoon. I'll show you how to make a sale in literally 5 questions. Do it all the time. If my sale presentation takes longer than 15 minutes, I'm taking way too long. That's how I'm able to run all the appointments. Because I don't try to impress them about me. I try to show them how smart they are. They get it really fast. If I could show you and ask you some questions that allow you to clarify in your own mind how you could be in control of your tax liability in the future rather than letting the government control your tax liability, would you want to know about it? And by the way, everybody look at me. All together, look at me. Ready? If I ever see anybody in this room say IRS or Uncle Sam, I will find you and kill you myself. He's not my uncle. He's not part of my family. He's not my buddy. Say the words.
The Eternal Revenue Service.
The government. It matters how you ask them. When you take a shortcut to something, you miss out on the opportunity. The Eternal Revenue Service. I never shorten it. Ever, ever, ever. When I'm looking, what? When I get in the house finally and I'm sitting there, they hand me, watch this, they hand me their IRA. Oh, no. Oh, sometimes I can even cry. Please, can I ask you something? Would there be any chance that I could see your after-tax statement? That's not what they're expecting me to ask. They think 100% of their money in their IRA 401k is their money. It is. And a bigger and bigger portion of it's going over. Now, I mess with my elevator talks or my questions all the time. I mess with them. So watch, one of the things that's going to become one of the biggest challenges for the American people is remember, we are going to become, in a very short amount of time, in the next 10 years, there will be 57 million Americans who will be caregivers because they will not be able to afford long-term care. I have a lovely couple named Al and Alice. I won't tell you their last names. They're 80 years old. They were 80 years old. I was embarrassed because they'd play kissy face and hold hands. They were that much in love with each other. And Alice had a stroke. Instead of putting her in a nursing home, Al cleared all the furniture out of his living room. He put in one of those imaginable hospital beds that lowers and goes up and down and folds and all that kind of stuff. And he cared for Alice. I have a question for all of you. Who died first? He did. From exhaustion. Have to use conversations to help people think about stuff like that. Here's why. Because if you tell them, they'll resist. If you ask them, their imagination is more vivid than anything you could ever describe. Please get that. You are successful sales professionals. This is a profession. This is not an art. This is a science. You can learn how to do this. I learned how to do this. Here's another great question. Is there somebody at the Internal Revenue Service or one of these local nursing homes that you're so absolutely crazy about that you want to leave the most, if not all of them? It starts conversations. That's what you want to do. Here's another one. This is using, I've made 50 appointments since Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. And I go to people and I start a conversation with them. I produce it. Man, isn't this something what's going on with Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma? Man, what would it be like if that ever happened here? How would we ever recover? What will we ever do? And they start having all of those kinds of conversations with them. And then I say to them, have you already heard some of the things that the government is doing? They're suspending the pension payments that are required for all the cities and municipalities that were affected by that. They're taking and harming all of those pensions in the long term so that they have access to money now. Have you heard on 401ks? It was just in the USA Today yesterday. They're going to allow people to access their 401ks without a penalty if they're in the hurricane zones. You're trading a short-term problem for a long-term problem? Are you kidding me? What are you going to do if you get to retirement and you don't have any money for 30 years? What's that going to be like? And then I keep talking to them and I say, small businesses. If you sell to small businesses, you say, during all of these events, what's the first thing that people don't have access to as a business? What's the first thing? It's access to credit, isn't it? So let me ask you something. The companies that have access to credit, they roar out of these terrible catastrophes because they can get back up and running immediately because they have access to money. They can buy all the other places that don't have access to money, and they absorb them all in. And wouldn't it be great, Mr. and Mrs. Businessperson, if you were the loan officer and you were the one that decided whether you had access to the money or not? Do we have examples? We have a really good example. Jack Welch at GE gets $4 million a year. $4 million a year, income tax free. Does GE care? No, they can't wait till he dies since they're going to get all our money back. Income tax free. How many Americans do you think know that life insurance can be used in that manner? And they won't know unless you ask them, not tell them, ask them. You should be calling on every small business. So I keep having this conversation with them. Here's where it finally gets to. I say, man, where are they going to get the money for this? It's $500 billion. Half a trillion. If they take $500 billion to repair all the stuff that's going on with Harvey and Irma, aren't they going to have to take money from somewhere else? Answer me.
Yes.
Of course, that's common sense. So then I say to them, do you know statistically 90% of America has less than $110,000? In fact, Fidelity just issued a report that says after a 9-year fake bull market, only promoted by printing money and stock buybacks, otherwise there would have been no growth, weakest recovery probably in the history of our country. What was I going to say?
No savings.
Fidelity.
Oh, Fidelity. Yes. At the end of a 9-year bull market, the average account balance of a Fidelity 401k, and they are 4 times bigger than the next biggest holder of 401ks. Ready? $92,500. So you ask them, you're looking right into the top, pretend you're not. Can I ask you something? If you live till you're 95 years old, how far is $92,500 from you? See, I don't tell them, I ask them. They need to think about this stuff. It's such a great time to ask all of these questions. So here's the close on the Irma Harvey. Please, I'm going very fast here. I'm trying to pack in tons and tons of stuff. And so if I'm stumbling a teeny little bit, that's okay, because I'm trying to fit in a lot of stuff. But here's the close. I look at the customer and I say, let me ask you something. You know 90% of America doesn't have any money? And 10% do. And you're one of the 10% who do. So let me ask you something. In the future, when the government needs more money, they going to go after the 90% of the people who don't have any money, or they're going to go after the 10% who do? So are you okay with that government taking all your money? I have another question. You're going to laugh when I ask it. And then I'm going to be serious and I'm going to make you answer it again. Ready? Do you think the government is stupid? People laugh. Then I say, seriously, do you think the government's stupid? But they're not. Do they know that we sell products that you can put money into now, pay the tax now when it's historically low, and never have it be income tax again as long as you live? Do they know it? Of course they do. How much longer do you think they're going to let us have those products if they know they need revenue? You guys should, this is like the Oklahoma land rush. You should be in your Conestoga wagon, carrying across the countryside of the United States, making sure everybody in America has a cash value life insurance policy. And oh, by the way, with one of my bosses here, please listen to me. For 30 years, I hated selling whole life insurance. Hated it. Not because it wasn't a good thing. But for 30 years, we've seen interest rates go from 18% down to zero. So the initial illustration I gave was never as good as what the in-force illustrations were going to be, because the interest rates have been going down for 30 years. But guess what, guys? We're at the bottom of the interest rate cycle. It's probably going to go back up. It's the greatest time ever to sell life insurance, because your initial illustration will probably be the lousiest illustration you ever show your customer. Do you get it? This is fun, exciting, opportunistic. But you got to know what you're doing.
Where's it written that you got to lose 30, 50, 70% of your money every time you have one of these economic catastrophes? Where's that written? Why do people do it? Can I ask you a dumb question? What if there was a way to guarantee that you never lose any money ever again? Better than that, what if I designed a strategy that would allow you to have access to your money at the exact right time so that every time one of these events happened, you could actually take advantage of it? Would that be powerful information for you, your family, and your business? So when do you want to know about this? Before or after the next downturn? So if there was no cost or allegation, would you visit with me in the next few years? There you go. Done. I can't run all the appointments that I have. Here's another one. I'm standing on a street corner in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I train NML agents all over the country. When they come to town, I live about from here to the back of this room from NML's home office. A lot of friends. When they come in for their summer convention, I have 15 breakfast, lunch, and dinners with NML agents. And we're standing on the street corner in front of the Pfister Hotel, and we're going to lunch, and the NML agent was being a smart aleck, and he says to me, "Man, you make a lot of money, you're buying lunch." And I said, "No, I never buy lunch." So I'll make you do. See that guy over there on the corner? If I get an appointment with him, you got to buy lunch. If I can't get an appointment with him, then not only will I buy you lunch or give you 20 bucks. He said, "Deal." Now, please, guys, why did I do that? Because this is supposed to be fun. What I'm hoping that you see when I walk off the stage today is how much I adore, how much I love what I do. This is not work. This is fun. I drive around and people give me money. It's hilarious. It's fun. So I walk up to the guy and he says, "Hi, my name's Van Miller. I'm an agent with Mass Mutual. I don't want to wreck your lunch, but see that guy over there? He's with NML. They just built this new home office downtown. They're really important to our community." And this idiot, I looked at him. I said, "This idiot made a bet with me that I couldn't get an appointment with you." The guy starts to laugh. I said, "Here's the deal. I'm going to ask you four questions if you'll let me. You're going to have a lot of fun with this. When you get to the third question, it's going to seem like it's from outer space. When we get to the fourth question, it's a trick question, and I'll warn you ahead of time, this will take 30 seconds. You'll laugh all the way through lunch when I'm done. Would it be okay if I asked you?" He says, "Sure." Do you understand? He wants to know what those questions are. I said, "So do you think there's going to be another financial catastrophe like there was in 2007 and 8? Just yes or no?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You remember in 2007 and 8, 12 million people lost their jobs. This time they think 20 million people are going to lose their jobs." I said, "Are you ready? Here's the question from outer space. Tell me the truth. If you lost your job for 30 years, would it harm you and your family?" He goes, "Oh my God, it would be devastating." I said, "Here's a trick question. Isn't that retirement?" He started to laugh. He said, "Oh my God, I never even thought about that." I said, "Man, that's the exact right answer. I promise you, there's no cost or obligation for this. All I'm going to do is come and ask you some questions that will allow you to clarify whether you have to worry about the risk multiplier called longevity. I promise, find me 45 minutes and in the next week or two, you will never regret it." He said, "You're on." "I never pay for lunch. Got it." Here's another one. How many sell to families with small children? We have a mall in Milwaukee called the Southbridge Mall. It has one of those little choo-choo trains down at the bottom. I eat there once a week. And I watch families come with their children, and they have their phone cameras, and they take pictures of their kids riding, and they're all crying. I don't know why. It's only going 2 miles an hour. But they're all crying, and I walk up and I say, "I have an insurance man, or I'm an insurance agent with Mass Mutual. Can I ask you a question?" I said, "I know you don't want to hear from somebody like me. I always am a little self-deprecating. I don't want to wreck your day. I just have been doing this for such a long time that I never want to let a family like yours go without somebody at least asking you this question. I promise it'll take 15 seconds. If you tell me to beat it right away, I'll be gone. But please, may I please ask you this question?" They say, "Sure." "Do you understand? Do you watch how I do it? It's the setup. Then they'll let me ask them anything because I asked them, may I?" So I looked at them and I said, "Can I ask you something? Do you think it's fair that when one parent dies and there's not enough money, that the children should end up losing both their parents. Isn't the parent that's left over, if there's not enough money, going to have to cook and clean and shovel snow and do the yard work and cut the grass and do the laundry and work? Here's my question. How much parent's going to be left? See, you know what they answer almost every time? Almost every time. They say, man, we never even thought about that. I say back as fast as I can, hey, you know that's the exact right answer. You do know that. Because you're busy feeding your kids, making sure they're safe, making sure they get enough sleep, making sure they're being educated. You're worried about all those things. You're not thinking about dying. So what if all I had to do is come and ask you some questions that will allow you to clarify in your own mind that you don't have to worry about this ever again, and what if we could do it for a very inexpensive amount of money? If there was no cost or obligation, promise I won't try to sell you a thing. Could you find me 45 minutes in the next week or two? It's always less than an hour, you guys. Always less than an hour. I want them to think it's not a big imposition on their life. I'm 100 appointments behind. I can't run all the appointments. Here's the most powerful one of the day. I'm going to ask this young lady here. I don't care what you answer, but I want you to tell the truth, okay? If you're not telling me the truth, I'll know. Okay? See how I set that up? I do that with people, strangers. Let me ask you something. If you had a choice, want to be rich, or do you want an absolute positive guarantee that you'll never be poor? Which one? Guarantee. You can ask 100 women. 98 women will give that answer. You have to ask 100 men, 90 men will give that answer. Will you be the smart aleck? Say the opposite. Ready? You want to be rich, or do you want an absolute positive guarantee that you'll never be poor? Which one?
I want to be rich.
What if I could show you how to do that faster than you could ever dream of? What if we actually had a vehicle that you could put money in, and once you put the money in, it would never, ever lose money ever again? It would grow safely without ever having any income tax responsibility. When you got to retirement, you could live off of it income tax-free, and when you died, you'd pay what was left over to your family, your friends, your favorite charity, or your business. If you knew that was so, when would you want to get started?
Get it.
Now, see, a conversation starter works no matter what they answer. Please really do it again for me, because I want them to see the flow. You want to be richer, you want an absolute positive guarantee that you'll never be poor. Which one? Guaranteed. What if I could show you a way that even if you completely ran out of money, you would never run out of income? These very uncertain times, wouldn't that be important information for moving ahead? There was no cost or obligation, and all I want to do is come and ask you some questions that will help you clarify what you need to do so that you can take advantage of that opportunity. Find me 45 minutes in the next week. You guys should never run out of appointments. You have so much to talk to people about. I have a list here. I'm working on a new elevator talk right now. Walk up to people and I say, can I ask you something? Have you ever thought about this? Do you realize you only get 40 years of work to create 80 years of retirement income? Now that's not exactly right. See, as I heard it, see, I'm still working on it. Do you realize that you have only 40 years of work to create 80 years of income? See, that's better. That's not a lie. The first one was not accurate. See, I'm working on stuff like that. I want you to see stuff that I'm messing with. I mess with these. Because all I want to do, the secret of success in the insurance industry, is not about sitting in the office and telling people you're studying. It's about getting in front of people and asking them these very important questions. Here's another one. Do you know that when you retire, you begin a race? It's your money versus your life. Which one do you want to win? When you retire, do you want to work on the golf course or do you want to play on the golf course? I stole that one from that spot. By the way, in the insurance industry, if you steal one thing, it's theft. If you steal a whole bunch of stuff, it's recent. Please, the secret of success in the insurance industry You just got to get this. Three words. Write them down. Don't leave here today without understanding what you need to be successful. Here's the three words. Find the money. That's it. And he sat here yesterday and he drew on a chalkboard and showed you a ton of ways to pick up millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the customer will say, of course I'd rather give it to you than to the Internal Revenue Service.
How much longer is that?
7 minutes. Yesterday he talked about David Walker. David Walker's my hero. In March of 2007, they interviewed him on 60 Minutes. And he was talking about all these concerns. And then he went, and 60 Minutes eyes checked up on these guys to make sure they know what they're talking about. I can't think of his name right now. The senator from North Dakota, who is the head of the Senate Finance Committee. They're interviewing. And all you see is his face with his Adam's head. And they're interviewing him and they say, this is Steve Croft. And he's interviewing the guy and he says, can I ask you something? Is all this stuff that David Walker is talking about, is this accurate? And the senator says, without it, he says, oh my God, it's exactly right. It's off, but there's a couple of things you could maybe argue with, but it's dead bang right now. And so Steve Croft says, everybody knows about this in Congress? Oh, yeah, everybody knows about it. And so he says to him the very obvious next question is, if everybody knows this is all going to be a serious problem, why isn't anybody doing anything about it? And looking right at the camera, the senator says, because it's easier not to. It's easier to kick the can down the road. You see, in politics, you get in trouble when you make choices. And you ask David, I said it perfectly, because I've said it a thousand times. I stop, I look at the customer, and I say, does that sound like the government? This is 10 years ago. It's 10 years worse than it was 10 years ago. That's why I'm showing you something that's 10 years old. Watch, this is so funny. You then start to take back down. You can Google this. U.S. headed for financial disaster. You can Google it. March of 2007. You can watch it. It's the most powerful 20 minutes you've ever seen on TV. But you start the CD back up, and Steve Croft says the obvious next thing. He says, man, does that mean we're going to have to raise taxes? And looking right at the camera, the senator goes, well, it does mean we are going to have to get more revenue. He's scared to death to say the word taxes out loud. Scared to death. Don't you see? It's the greatest time to sell what you sell. You're the competition. Cash value life insurance. Roth IRAs. Roth 401ks. Pay the tax now when it is historically low and transfer as much money to the future as you possibly can that the government will never ever be able to put their hands on. There's one of the guys that I'm hoping that you choose to have come and speak to you next year. His name is Jim Silbernagle. He does a thing for Power Session Live for NAPA. I want to show you something. I make so much money with this. On Power Session Live, David Walker, the former Comptroller General of the United States, the Chief Accountant of the United States, says, I have converted all my assets to annuities because I want to guarantee my return. Ben Bernanke has 80% of his money in annuities inside of insurance companies, half fixed, half variable. He's probably the reason we didn't fall into the abyss. I have to give him some credit. At the time he was printing money, it actually saved our country, saved the world. The only problem is we don't know how to stop. So we're making this worse by the minute. By the minute. It's the greatest time ever to be an insurance agent. And if I haven't convinced you of that, I failed today. I keep working harder and harder to get better at this because I want to share everything I know with you because somebody shared everything they know with me. That's the secret, you guys. Give, give, give. The secret of happiness is not about what you get. It's about what you give. So I want to close with two things. Just two quick sentences and another one. First, we were going to hire George Martin. I got the plan, the main platform for the Million Dollar Roundtable in New Orleans right before Hurricane Katrina. One of the guys we were thinking of having represent was George Martin, the fifth Beatle. I've seen the show Love at the Mirage in Las Vegas at least 10 times, and they don't want to sit next to me because I cry like a baby through the whole thing. The music touches me, it just touches me. This is what George Martin said about you. This is why we're going to hire you. He said, like love, do we care if somebody's nose is a bit crooked or their face a bit wrinkled? He said, no. He said, the power to move people to laughter, to tears, to violence, the ability to inspire people to take action is the most powerful attribute any human being can have, and that's what you do for a living. You change the world one appointment at a time. Don't ever forget. One of my favorite people right now in NAPA, he's helping us to turn our organization around, is our leader, Kevin Mayhew. Kevin has a bar in downtown Orlando, about a block away from where the shooting occurred in the nightclub in Orlando. And I remember watching, they were showing on CNN, and I'm crying. I cry a lot. Ever since I turned 65, I cry like a baby. Oh, Star Trek. But I'm crying like a baby watching this, and they're interviewing this kid. And three times, he went back in while the shooting was going on and dragged friends out of this nightclub. And they're raving at him. They're saying, oh, you're such a hero, such a hero. He starts to cry. I start to cry. Here's what he said. Gosh, I wish I could have done more. I hope you leave the Taggart Symposium with this thought in your head. I wish I could have done more.